play country music in addition to all the other stuff that we play. There ought to be some country music in here.
Why not a compromise? See if you can get like Bob Dorough does Loretta Lynn.
Yeah, there. Well, I'd be down with that too, but or the other way around. You know, I think Bob Dorough did do Loretta Lynn, but I'm not.
Wait a minute.
No, I mean covered her work.
I looked that up. flirting. Yeah. That's flirting.
I wanted to note something about that. The master.
Well, Dusty Baker has compared the current investigation into steroids to McCarthyism. I'm not sure the House Un-American Activities Committee ever asked Lucille Ball to make a wee-wee in a cup, but perhaps the comparison works in other ways. It's time for Sport d'Artois, the very French sports discussion. Avec Monsieur Arnoldine, Monsieur Bruce Stevens, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
You know, we've missed this. You're going to have to leave us a tape, Louis, because when you're on vacation, I mean...
Yeah, we can't do the French thing.
Yeah. You'd like a little something?
Yeah, we would, yes. Yeah, a generic opening. Yeah.
We have some new hints here on Louis, too.
Yeah. Well, we will think of a French term, you know? It's like, yes, yes.
That's right.
Uses something in the translation.
Every line I think of, I'm censoring. I
hadn't thought of that, but...
All right.
Bruce and Collins show.
Yeah. That was some very impressive.
Doing a little line dancing.
Yeah.
I like to get out and cut a rug.
Well, we've got time for open phones here. One little story that we didn't really get into yet, which is sort of the hooliganism, California hooliganism continues. A pair of conservative Republicans who helped organize last year's gubernatorial recall election are now saying that they would like to remove California Attorney General Bill Lockyer. Because he failed to enforce the state's ban on same-sex marriage. Basically, you probably know Governor Arnold said to Lockyer he wanted something done about it. He said he wanted something done about it. But you know what, Bill Lockyer, he had kind of a little hitch in his get-along.
Yep.
And then, you know, they asked him to go and do something about them fellows down at City Hall who have an extra big hitch in their get-along, if you know what I mean. There ain't nothing wrong with saying that. There ain't nothing wrong with saying that if it's not said in a prideful way.
Let me check.
As long as it's not said in a prideful way or a way meant to offend, then there ain't nothing wrong with saying something like that.
All right.
And, all right, we're going to take some phone calls here. Our number's a 5.
We're not going to play any more country songs if we're going to have to listen to you talk like that after that for 10 minutes.
Well, just, you know, maybe 2-3 minutes. 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Star WTIC, if you're talking on your CB radio, how's it look? Go over your shoulder, good buddy.
Yeah. Maybe we should play a little C.W. McCall and Convoy later on. The Hoots. All right, here's Richard in New Britain. Hi.
Hi, guys. I'm free, you know.
After watching his Diane Sawyer appearance, I sort of swung around to the idea that he's just crazy. And I just assume that growing up with his crazy father and having to deal with his crazy father's crazy ideas, yeah, it's kind of driven him around the bend, and he's just full of rage and craziness, and he's just not in control of that at all. And so he's made this really crazy movie that we're all going to go see.
Tune in to PAX TV at 9 p.m. tonight if you're interested, and you know, see what you come away with.
All right. Thanks for that. I think Simon Cowell is actually on that one, too, actually.
Did you get your... your
Centurions edition. You're a bad centurion. There's no possibility of you ever being a good centurion.
Did you get one of those chains with a nail on it yet?
No. This right there are little accessories.
Worse than that.
Yeah.
Last week on eBay,
yeah,
a Jesus doll.
Yeah.
And it looked like a recycled Ken doll. They stuck some like hair on the thing and a little mustache.
Well, maybe that's what Ken's doing now that Barbie dumped him.
Impersonating Jesus?
Maybe he's trying
That's
to
a
be,
little tough, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe so. Or, you know, maybe he's joined a cult.
$135 it was selling for.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's very possible that Ken has got, you know, Barbie dumped him. And who is it, Blaine? Is Blaine the new Barbie's new guy?
Yes, I think it is. Yeah,
Ken is probably in some kind of garbage-eating cult now.
Could very well be.
All right.
522-WTIC, 800-966-WTIC, it's Star WTIC.
We have some excellent...
Watch out!
Helicopters, that they're not going to make anymore, or they don't want them anymore.
Yeah.
And now there's articles about how Dodd and Lieberman and Rowland are strategizing with Sikorsky and stuff. And I mean, I don't know anything about this kind of stuff, but you, I know you're a former general.
Jet pilot.
Isn't it the case that nobody wants these things and they're only going to be useful if the Soviet Union regroups and attacks us? Or
you know, the problem is. No federal recognition.
That's right.
The Comanche call,
yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they do Scatico helicopters.
Yeah, exactly. What they should do is, of course, you can't build the Comanche helicopters, but you can build 15 more Black Hawk helicopters and you can have a casino.
Right.
That seems fair.
That seems like a fair trade, absolutely.
But, I mean, you know what happens?
You're right. Nobody wants them.
Yeah. And nobody outside the state of Connecticut thinks they're any good. Plus, apparently, first of all, it's, 650 of them. For $39 billion. And apparently Hyundai makes a very similar helicopter, and it's about $14,000. So I think they may be planning to buy some of those Hyundai.
Yeah.
Also, Daewoo is making a terrific assault helicopter at this point. And they break down a lot. But, you know, I always love it when everybody else in the other 49 states are going, well, I'm glad we got rid of that junk, you know. And of course, our lawmakers have to pretend that this is some kind of outrage. You know? How can they stop making those? I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to seem disloyal. And maybe I'm wrong about this. I'm sure people from Sikorsky will be calling this.
Probably.
Probably lose all that Sikorsky advertising to get here anyway.
Undoubtedly, yeah. I'm concerned with it.
Thank God we got the ads for their President's Day sale, though. Get that under our belt.
Maybe there'll be a clearance now.
You could probably get one of those Comanches pretty cheap now. You could probably get
President's Day sale.
Yeah, you could probably get one for like $250 million or something like that at this point, you know, because nobody wants them.
Mark down.
And then just resell it to Jordan or something, you know.
I don't think somebody hasn't already thought of that.
It's probably Will from Morris or whatever his name is. He's probably, he's probably doing something.
Warren.
Like
yeah.
Will from Warren. He's in the arms business. He's probably flipping those Comanches right now. Buy them cheap here, sell them.
buy them cheap here,
and then sell them to some hereditary tyranny based on voodoo and meaningless acts of violence. Haiti's going to want at least one of them. I don't know. Maybe they're for like helicopters.
Well, they're getting more Blackhawks, right?
Yeah, 15 more Blackhawks. They're going to make 15 more Blackhawks.
No, Blackhawks. Is the Blackhawk a step up? Would this be
The Blackhawks are actually, I think, useful in these situations. I mean, the problem is that we only fight small countries now, apparently, you know, so if there aren't any big countries left. I mean, maybe if we go to war with China or something, we'll wish we had those Comanches. I don't know. Because they were Cold War helicopters.
How do they get away?
They're available today at Cold War prices.
Right. But how do they get away with naming these things with Indian names?
I don't know. Who knows? Because maybe there aren't any. Are there any Comanche? Are there any existing Comanches anymore?
I don't know. Blackhawk?
Sometimes. Of course, Tomahawk, everything's named after. That's our tribute to Native Americans. That, like,
name our weapons after them.
Weapons after either, you know, words from their vocabulary or a way of saying thank you. Thanks for the country.
Pretty soon it's going to be the Blackjack helicopter.
Right. Well, neither one of us, because we're cowards, neither one of us has seen the passion.
Not because I'm a coward.
I'm a coward.
I am a coward, but I didn't really have time today to do it.
I just wouldn't have gone anyway. I'm so dreading this thing. I spent most of the day writing a column for Northeast Fighting Descending.
About the film that you haven't seen?
Well, I started trying to see if I could draw some parallels between this film and American Idol.
Why?
The fact that they both have people named Simon. I've become obsessed with American Idol recently. It's not a good thing. We haven't seen The Passion of the Christ Bach. But I do want to say, I love the way that Jesus is kind of turned into a profit center again, because not only this movie's making money, and as we indicated yesterday, it has just already, you know, just created a boom market and sort of Passion of Christ paraphernalia. And they're just,
the bracelets for the nails are big.
The cash registers are just singing. And so it says, I'm reading one article, it says, we've seen some pretty amazing response to the product. It's selling a lot of jewelry, including that bracelet. A lot of people are coming in here looking for jewelry that includes the little cross. I wonder if we had the Mel Brooks 2000 Man routine. You remember the 2000-year-old man? At one point, Carl Reiner asked him what he used to do for a living 2,000 years ago. And he goes, oh, I was in manufacturing. I used to make stars of dates. He said, well, I had a factory, and we have five guys at point. And they would run toward each other, and they'd fuse in the center. Bam, you get a star of David. But we'd have to close because of the many accidents. Actually, a guy came in, his name was Simon Wow. I looked at it, and over, I went, two guys run together. Bam, here across. Anyway,
this can only be bad before the day's over.
Well, but no, but these people are just, I guess everybody wants to make a buck, and I guess that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But
Isn't it kind of?
They're getting
insulting.
Increased orders for passion-related materials. Can't get enough of Jesus' last days, according to this article. The necklaces with a nail, you mentioned there's a keychain. Yeah. That's cool. There's a keychain, other necklaces that have the same number. Look,
Tytax.
All our big fellas.
Tytax?
Tytax, yeah. Also the plush toys. Pontius Pilate's plush toys.
Pontius
Pilate's plush toys.
Pontius Pilate's
toys. Pontius Pilate's toys. For the dog. The dog can run around with Pontius Pilate in his mouth. That'll teach him. And let's see, and then they quote this one guy, says, the Bible is selling really well right now, too.
Yeah, imagine that.
So that's, that's a winner.
Perhaps package some of these up, together, get a bracelet and a nail and a Bible.
The hottest fashion
that
this is the thing you're talking about, the crucifixion nail pendant. Filling briskly, the rough-hewn nail is described with a verse from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Quote, he was pierced for our transgressions, unquote. I don't know. This stuff is also mildly... There's something tacky about the whole thing. There's something tacky about using something...
Ultra-tacky.
And not only that, but, even before... we're all distracted right now by the passion of the Christ stuff. But also, there's the Da Vinci Code, which, when you travel, you become keenly aware of what people are reading. Because people are going crazy... On American planes, people are reading. And it's like you walk onto some airplanes and it's like kind of row after row of people reading the Da Vinci Code. It's really, for those of us who are less successful authors, it's very depressing. You want to get on the plane and go, could you possibly read one other, is there one other book besides this one that people could read? Does it have to be like only this one book? Everybody in America is going to read this one book. But
Do you have another book in mind?
I would like them to read my book, but
Why didn't you see if the steward, the flight attendant, would let you make a couple of announcements,
Yeah, well, they're using my book to block the wheels of the plane these days, so, when the surplus is being used, it's a shock, it's called a shocking wheel?
Shocking wheel, yeah.
So anyway, it's just sort of amazing, what an industry it is. And of course, the Da Vinci Code and Mel Gibson's movie offer radically different versions of Christ. And matter of fact, maybe there could be some, pairing off some kind of, steel cage. I don't know. I understand people have always made money off of religion, and there's nothing you can do about it, and there's no point even speaking about it. But it does seem, there's something untoward about it. Particularly these people selling these things with these nails on them.
Oh, that's disgusting. That's just basically insulting.
How can they feel good about that? That'll be $17.50, please. It just doesn't seem right somehow.
I wonder where the profits are going on that.
Yeah. Oh, this ought to be fun. All right, we got calls coming in here. I want to mention who's going to be on the show today. We got David Edelstein, a critic from... Who did you want?
Jim Brycevich. Listen, Jim Brycevich in the morning is doing a great show.
That Buddy Brycevich show is terrific. And every time I turn it on, I learn something. It's amazing. It's just chock full of information.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's incredible.
But when you refer to him, Yeah. No, you really should refer, and maybe that'll be part of your new tone that you're using today.
What?
You call him by his name, Jimmy Viper, Jim, or if he says, you know, call me buddy.
He likes to be called buddy. Are you kidding me? He loves to be called buddy.
Well, we've never heard him say that.
Oh, no, he does like to be. I was throwing a tennis ball for him earlier today. He was just really...
You were earlier today?
Yeah, I was throwing it.
I can follow up on this.
Yeah, out on the lawn sometimes after his show, just because he has a little surplus energy, I'll just throw a tennis ball for him.
And he
loves being called buddy.
What?
All right. I've known Jim Vicevich for, I don't know, like 20 years or something like that. So,
I know.
So don't you try to come between us, Joseph. You tart. You...
And I think he knows you exist, doesn't he?
Huh?
Does he know that you guys exist?
He knows that we exist. Jim and I were sort of colleagues in Hartford Journalism for a really long time. Buddy. Don't you try to come between us. Don't you try to stir up trouble, Joseph. I know what you're all about, Joseph. You know what? You are jealous of my relationship with Buddy, aren't you? Because you'd like to be Buddy's best friend, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to be Buddy's best friend, Joseph? Huh?
Quality of your broadcast.
All right. Anyway.
For everyone.
Thank you.
I'm not
would
looking forward
to me to the movie and just...
I suppose I have. You want me to
Could you go see the movie and then act it out for me with puppets?
Different and... somewhat different way. It's a movie that I mean, I did call it the Jesus Chainsaw Massacre, and I did say it was a snuff movie. But
it's a 2-hour and 6-minute snuff movie.
But my objection was, my question was, why does Gibson linger on this in a sadistic way, and that he does? Why does he put people through this? What is he hoping that people will take from it? Well, for a lot of people, the suffering and death of Jesus in the last 12 hours of his life is the point of their faith. I mean, it is. Suffering is the point.
I mean, I guess that may be true, although I've sort of dwelt in these realms quite a bit in one way or another. And, I mean, my sense is that that's true for very few people. Unless
written to me.
Well, yeah, except that Mel Gibson has informed them that that is the point of their faith. They just never knew it before. I think if prior to this whole controversy, if you were to ask the average devout Christian, what's the most important thing, he'd say the resurrection is like 50%. The works and teachings of Jesus Christ during his lifetime are 30, 35, 40%. And then the remaining 10 things.
Right. Right. Okay. I'm still doing the math there, but I like it though.
I like
that math. And I mean, despite what I'm being called at the moment, I'm not someone who hates or rejects the teachings of Jesus. And quite the contrary. I think there's a lot to be learned from his parables instead of paying attention to this particularly horrific end, I think there's probably a lot to be learned if we go back and look at the parables and look at the teachings. Now obviously that comes from a Jew, and there are a lot of people who say I have no business to be sitting in judgment on this movie at all. And here comes...
Here they come. They're coming for you.
Corrupt.
They came for the movie critics. I said nothing.
I don't understand. I truly do not understand what it is that Mel Gibson is doing in this movie. Why it is so relentlessly, horrifically punishing. What we are supposed to be left with here. If, as he says, we are supposed to understand just how much Jesus loved us, and if we are to understand that, how he has forgiven us for putting him in this situation, I don't understand quite why I'm on the receiving end of this level of this kind of a visceral fury.
Well, I mean, I just want to say that I haven't seen this movie yet because I know I have to, but every time I see a picture or a little clip from it, it just looks like the meat counter at Stop and Shop or something, and I can't even bring myself to go. But, I think that this movie is... I just finished writing a column about the fact that I think this whole movie is about Mel Gibson's own neurosis. I mean, who makes Jesus go through all this stuff? His father. Who's driving Mel Gibson out of his freaking mind? His father. You know, I think this is all just a movie about how miserable Mel's father has made him his entire life.
Yeah, well, you know, that's very interesting, and I'm glad you said it and not me, because you know, I mean, I'm always tempted to play the Jew psychiatrist,
right.
But and to put Mel on the couch and look at this and sort of in the context of a career of being obsessed with martyrdom. But for all I know, you know, it began with his Catholic faith. You know, for all I know, all of these fantasies in movies like Lethal Weapon and Braveheart and Conspiracy Theory and all the rest, in which he's very elaborately tortured and mutilated, and is in fact a direct outgrowth of his Catholic upbringing. I don't know. I just don't know. I was much more certain last night at this time than
all right.
I am now.
Well, David, my advice, don't read any more email. Go to and say, hold me. And not
this
be arrested.
This has been enormously therapeutic. Thank you very much. Don't pass it around, though.
Okay.
Okay.
But you're feeling vulnerable right now.
Thanks.
You need a hug.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye, Colin.
You know, even though yesterday we were talking about why it's important not to vote for Ralph Nader or encourage him. It's like feeding bears at Yellowstone or something like that. I mean, you just shouldn't do anything towards Ralph. But, and so...
That is just cold.
But I have to say, Alex Beam, the worst person in journalism, but a very, very talented...
Are you going to limit it
person.
To just journalism?
You know, maybe the worst person on the Eastern Seaboard. But a very talented person, wrote a terrific column about why he voted for Nader 4 years ago and why he might again. And he really made some good points. But I just want to say one thing about all of you Nader people out here, like Nader Redux people. I mean, people who were for Nader in 2000 were insufferable, okay? They were insufferable. And what they would do is they'd kind of come at you and go, well, I have the courage of my convictions, and you don't. And you know what? Gore's already going to win Connecticut's electoral votes anyway, so it doesn't matter. I can do it for Ralph Nader if I want to. You know, and it just got you just wanted to strangle these people. And this time it's going to be worse. The Nader people are going to be even worse. There's going to be a smaller group of them, and they're going to be even more, you know, William Wallace diehard, you know. You know, I mean, really, that they're going to be worse now because they're even more dyed in the wool. And they're going to be more insufferable. And it's going to be just horrible. And I just want to and then I've become obsessed with American Idol. And actually, this woman last night who sang last, who was unpromisingly named LaToya. And one thing that you realize about American Idol, and this now will now prove that I have no life.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is...
Chris Simon is kind of
aimed of mean.
Or extremely mean in some cases. When he's nice, when he gets enthusiastic about somebody, it really is like the clouds have parted and, you know, the voice of God is coming out of the firmament to confer blessings on somebody. I mean, you know, when he's the least bit enthusiastic...
Used to watch TV on a very rare occasion and was never home. And
I know, I was never home.
Wouldn't stoop to watch stupid shows like American Idol.
I don't know what's happened to me, except that I felt like I should...
And now, come out with these... I was watching, and it's like the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
And...
I've become a little obsessed with American Idol. And I did try to watch The Apprentice, because a lot of...
Watch Survivor,
people,
too?
No, well, I watched the first season of Survivor, back in my old days when I had a life. But, Give it a sec. Oh, I've tried to watch The Apprentice, and I think The Apprentice stinks. I mean, I know all these smart people who like The Apprentice.
Oh,
I think it's a terrible show.
Yeah.
Trump is not interesting or funny or good or anything. He never has been. He's fundamentally, he can sort of imitate people who are funny and good, but he's not funny and good. And the contestants are, for the most part, not that interesting. What's interesting, the guy who's great is, he's got these two assistants, these two lieutenants. I was telling Bobby about this. One of them is this very put-upon-looking woman who just looks like she can't believe she's stuck on this stupid reality show with all these morons.
No, that's John Kerry's wife.
Oh, that could be.
I've
got
to
make
sense.
Okay,
yeah.
That could be Teresa Hines.
Yeah.
She was also stuck on a really bad reality show. But great, because he talks to Donald like he's not on a reality show. And he works for Donald Trump. And he says, Don, you can't hire that guy. He's a wacko. He'll screw up our whole organization. Don, you can't hire him. So he's great. But the whole show is unbearable. It's just really dull.
George Steinbrenner. Well, yes, perhaps you have snatched the best player in baseball away from us, but wait until our groundskeeper gets through suing two of your former players. You're going to be very sorry about the way that feels. It's time for sports. That's why the very French sports discussion segment. And the key show around the team is your Bruce Stevens and myself, Louis Gaston de la Mer. Ha ha
ha! As usual, Louis is right on top of the news.
Yeah.
One of the things he's suing for is he...
While the world goes down the drain.
This is the weaving of the country in.
This here's our country music.
There's almost 2.5 hours into the show is the first hint of any country music.
And this is by 50 Cent, actually. It's just from his new country CD.
Oh, you know, can't you just wait, though? I can hardly wait to see, 50 Cent running against Tad Diesel. You know, one of these local Farmington elections. Didn't he say he wanted to get into some local politics?
Okay, I've been able to sort of trace this rumor, this idea back to its source, which is Access Hollywood. And I actually have the transcript here in front of me of the conversation.
Okay.
Between Billy Bush. And 50 Cent.
And the 50 Cent.
And so they're talking about the new crib in Farmington.
Right.
You know, 50 Cent, most people know, bought Mike Tyson's house, which is in Farmington.
Not far from here.
Our studios are near, in the off-world colony, are near the town of Farmington.
Right. And we're also near to the house.
Right, yeah, we're near the house. So, they're talking about the 18-bedroom, 38 bathrooms, all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
And at one point, Billy Bush says, first of all, he says, have you met any of the neighbors? 50 Cent says, I don't think they're not happy. They say, we get rid of my to run for city councilor. 50 Cent says, if Arnold can do it, why can't 50?
Right. And he's right.
He's right. There's no reason.
Do you think we should get behind this candidacy for something?
Yeah, I mean, if you would like to sort of sit there and listen to people talk about drainage.
How do you know what's in